Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking about a new index that's come out from Altron, and this one is about how the pandemic hit the short-term credit market. A few weeks ago, if you've been paying attention to this platform, we did speak to the Altron team earlier on, and they were talking to us at the time just around the ability of households to take on and manage debt. That was Altron's fintech unit, and right now they have a follow-up index talking about what's going on in the short-term credit market. We are joined by Johan Gelatli, who is the managing director of Altron fintech, and then we are also joined by Keith Lockwood, who is an independent economic consultant and faculty member at Gibbs Business School, to sort of help us to unpack what's actually going on that front. So I think, a good place for us to start, Johan. This is the second time we've spoken to you in a couple of weeks. Maybe you can give us an overview of just around the intention of creating these two indices and why, you guys felt the need to do something like this. And, what is the difference between the two?
Hello, Mudiwe, and thank you for the opportunity. And hello to the listeners out there. Since the onset of the pandemic, and a tremendous impact it had on the world economy. We as Altron felt that we have to do some research on the impact of the pandemic on our segment of business that we predominantly support with our technology platforms. So what we have done with the first index is the AFRI. We had Dr. Rulof Guerta do some research for us on the resilience of the South Africans to repay their short-term credit. And that index we launched some time ago, and that gave us an indication of how well our South Africans are managing their short-term credit. The second thought then was, what impact does the short-term credit have on our South African economy, and to determine what we could do to measure that impact that it had on our economy. We then engaged with Keith Lockwood, who did the research for us on that. And he's going to present the impact that short-term credit has in the economy. So from Altron's perspective, the reasons why we launched these research into these indices are, first of all, to assist our customers being the short-term credit provider in the country, and then to give them a sense of an indicator of how they can pivot from the dire straits that we were in March and April of 2019. And now they can actually improve their credit score of short-term credit that they're extending into their market. And then secondly is also to give our customers the ability to understand how their customers are managing their short-term credit. And those two indices, hopefully, going forward, will give input into our customers running their businesses better and more profitable. So that's in line with the Altron's strategic theme of financial inclusion. And we really would like to demonstrate them to the policymakers and regulators in the country of where they should be applying a relaxing of the policies and the regulations to fuel the economy. Because it's our view and our opinion that this market segment is fueling the SME market segment, where many of our customers are making use of short-term credit for the purposes of growing the economy. And this economy is actually growing in the informal sector. And there's very little measurements in the informal sector that can contribute to the policy makers and the regulators. So this is a small attempt from our side. And we're gonna try and launch this, this index, repeat this index every quarter. And that's what we're going to Thank you again, Tadeu.
No, thank you so much for that, Johan. I think just moving on to Keith, there's a lot of things that we've actually gotten from what Johan is saying, looking at, you know, the small business sector, looking at, you know, households, all of these different issues. So in terms of the index that you were in charge of, how did you actually go about collecting the data? How did you choose to put it all together? I think in our previous conversation with Dr. Bota, we heard about, you know, the 20 or so different factors that they, you know, put together for that index. So when it comes to this one, what type of things were you taking into consideration?
Okay, thanks, Madiwe, and good afternoon and hello to everyone. So I think our starting point here was to use the National Credit Regulator data. That's really the sort of most comprehensive set of data relating to the consumer credit market. In the context of short-term credit extension, they do have the challenge that really small short-term credit providers only report annually. And so the data we're looking at really reflects the more formalized short-term credit providers. But our starting point is to say, okay, what is the total value of the credit that's outstanding at the end of a particular period? In this case, it was the first quarter of this year. And what we then do is say, okay, different income groups access this credit in different ways and to different extents. So again, the National Credit Regulator collects data on what different types of credit are accessed by people in different income groups. So because of the term structure of the short-term credit, so you're typically in this context talking about loans with a term up to 6 months and with a value up to 8,000 Rand. So we've used the last three quarters, the average distribution amongst different income groups as the basis for apportioning the debtors book to different income groups. Okay, so what this means in effect is that we've now got a stock of credit, if you like, that has been accessed by different income groups. And then what we do is we align those income groups with the quintiles. A quintile is just a fancy word for a sort of 20% grouping. But we align it with the quintile weights of the consumer price index. So the consumer price index provides information on how much people in the bottom quintile spend on food, for example, and transport and healthcare and education and pretty much everything else that households purchase, and how much each of the other quintiles does as well. And so what we do then is we say, okay, well, if the people in the bottom quintile got so much short-term credit, we can infer then if they spend that money in the same way that they spend the other sources of income, that they will spend so much on food and so much on housing and transport, etc. And so what we then do is aggregate each of the categories of spending, and what the final step of this really is to say, okay, well, now let's see what the multiplier effects of that spending are on the economy as a whole. So when you spend money in a particular sector or with a particular business, that business has to employ what we call factors of production. So they have to employ labor, they need capital, they need land, and they need some entrepreneurial skills. And in addition to that, they also need to buy inputs from other suppliers. And so that generates sales, not just in the particular business, but in all other businesses in the economy. And so what we're really trying to measure here is with this amount of credit that's being spent in the economy in a particular time frame, what is the total value of the sales that are supported by that credit extension? And then also by inference, if you know how much sales are supported, then you can also estimate how many jobs are supported and how much tax the government is collecting as a consequence of those sales.
Now, one of the things that, we noted when you guys first brought out these results, you say that one of the key findings is that the value of short-term credit extended was actually down by 20%. There's a couple of things, that I think, need to be unpacked here, Keith. And, firstly, the 20%, right? How bad, is that, right? Relative to, I guess, where things are coming from or where things should be.
Okay, so just to be clear, the 20% is relative to the pre-COVID levels. So it's not, it's slightly less than 20% if you just look at the percentage change from the first quarter of 2020 to the first quarter of 2021. But relative to pre-COVID levels, the amount of short-term credit being advanced in the economy was 20% down on its levels of the fourth quarter of 2019. That does follow a longer-term downward trend in short-term credit extension that goes all the way back to really the fourth quarter of 2015. So we have seen a downward ratcheting of the amount of credit advanced in this particular segment of the market. But obviously the COVID pandemic impacted on that as well. And so what we have seen is that there's generally been fewer loans advanced in this sector. The average value of the loans advanced has actually gone up a little bit, but a large reason for that is the fact that the number of payday loans or 1 month loans that have been extended has dropped quite a lot, and I think that can be ascribed in many ways to the decline in overall employment in the economy over this COVID period. In addition to that, we have seen that household incomes have actually declined in real terms. So after you strip away the effects of inflation, households have less money to spend now than they did before COVID.
Now, everything that you're talking about does paint, quite, a dire picture of where the economy is. And I think it sort of lends itself to the devastation that we've seen, over the pandemic period, actually, crystallizing how, things are actually happening on the ground for, small businesses, households, as you're highlighting. Johan, just bringing you in here, anything, of surprise, just from the results that you guys found, because I know that as Outram FinTech, you guys do work a lot with, small businesses, and from your experience, would you say that what was found on the index is in line with what you guys are seeing on the ground?
Thank you, Mudiwa. The results pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, that we tracked quite closely, and that was what we were expected. Because if you cast your mind back when the government classified the categories of essential services, this form of credit market was not classified as an essential service. So in the first, I'll say 2 to 3 months of the lockdown, this type of credit wasn't extended into the market as it was prior to COVID. So we lobbied with our partners, and I think in lockdown after 3 months they opened up this portion of the market, and then we saw the businesses slowly recovering from being closed for that period. So we are seeing now levels of in our business levels of credit being extended very close to the levels that we saw in March in 2019. So there hasn't been a full recovery at all. So I would like to refer you back to the index, the AFRI index, where there's an indication of what the total volume of credit that was extended into this market was about double that one that was extended in the current period that we mentioned now. So there has been a steady decline in short-term credit. Now, what we are attempting to do with these two indices is try and highlight to the policymakers that this is actually a marvelous place for regulation and policy to fuel the economy. Because these people that make use of this type of credit, to give you an example, so if you've got a small trader and they have to buy some stock to trade tomorrow and they don't have sufficient cash flow, this is the market segment that they access to actually get credit to actually buy some inventory for them to vend in the following day. And these people typically employ like 2 to 3 people. So the multiplying effect is huge and is ginormous. So if we can get set policy to get the levels back to 2015, 2016, I mean, you can imagine what this will do for the growth in our economy and for the employment of people. So it's very important for us that the people understand the impact that the short-term period has on the economy of our country. And I think a lot of people will give us some stats on that going forward in this session.
In addition to what you've just spoken about, I'm just thinking about the role that the short-term credit market plays for small businesses when it comes to, I guess, you know, simple liquidity of, you know, just paying the one or two people that you're talking about. If you are lucky enough to be, you know, supplying, you know, a bigger chain or something like that, you usually have the payment periods, which are a really big problem for, you know, all of these small businesses. When you then think about it from that point of view, it gives credence to what the actual situation is on the ground. Keith, in addition to what Johan is talking about, just giving this information to policymakers and finding ways of, you know, helping that particular sector, how else do you sort of see this particular index actually helping? Because it sort of joins, there's a number of indexes that are commonly followed, whether you're talking the APSA PMI, consumer vulnerability, consumer confidence, all of these different things that we speak about. So, you know, from what you can see, how else do you see this index being used? And, you know, why does it seem as if there hadn't been, you know, a lot of work? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's just information that I haven't read or seen. But why would it seem as if there isn't a lot that's usually done research-wise around this sector?
So I think if we unpack what short-term credit is and how it links up to other forms of credit, it's important to acknowledge that it's by no means the most significant type of credit in terms of its aggregates, but it is, as Johannes alluded, a kind of credit that is often the first point of access for people that have never had credit before. So in that sense, it does have an important role in terms of financial inclusion. I think the other really important point about this particular type of credit is that it's proportionately accessed by lower income households to a far greater degree than is the case for other forms of credit. So collectively, people earning 15,000 Rand a month or more access about 89% of total credit or total consumer credit. But when it comes to short-term credit, people earning more than 15,000 Rand actually only collect or access about 47% of that total credit. So that means that the bulk of short-term credit is actually accessed by people who are earning less than 15,000 Rand a month. And that spreads fairly evenly across lower income levels. So between 7.5 and 15,000, similar sort of proportions of people to those earning less than 7,500 rand a month. It is an important source of funding to households with low incomes and limited wealth assets in the event that there are unforeseen developments and emergencies, such as we're seeing now with the COVID pandemic. And as Johannes said, from the perspective of micro businesses, it's important to provide working capital for stock purchases and asset purchases. And then I think it also provides us with an insight into the financial health of this quite vulnerable and often neglected portion of South Africa's population. In other words, the lower income households and small businesses. So it was in part because of those reasons why we decided to focus in on this. And then, you know, the reality is that probably because it's not the most significant form of credit, it's been relatively understudied. And I think in many cases, it's poorly understood by policymakers and politicians. So that, again, was one of the reasons why we thought it would be useful to start unpacking this kind of credit. And hopefully over time, we'll be able to get a much better insight into who actually is accessing the credit and what their motivations for doing so are.
Yeah, I think that, you know, certainly I think that helps, and it would be great to see, you know, how things do develop, you know, develop over time. I think, you know, as we round up the discussion, Keith, how often, you know, will we be seeing this index coming out? I know some come out monthly, some quarterly, some annually. When can people expect the next round of information to come through?
Yeah, so this is drawing on data that's published quarterly by the National Credit Regulator. So hopefully we should be able to get the second quarter of 2021 data in the next 2 months, I'm hoping. And that will then enable us to go through a sort of next round of iterations in terms of impact. So then we'll be able to assess the impact on sales. And when you start looking at the second quarter GDP figures, we do start seeing that some of the sectors are at least recovering quite sharply. And hopefully that will also apply in this space as well. So we should start seeing some signs of an uptick, hopefully, in the volume of short-term credit, and then obviously with the multiplier effects, that would mean that starts to support sales and employment in the economy in general and in many other sectors of the economy.
All right. So that was us with the team, you know, behind the Altron FinTech Short-Term Credit Impact Index, and giving us some insight into how that index was developed. This is the second index to come, you know, through from Altron FinTech in the last couple of weeks. The first one talking about how households are able to manage or take on debt versus this one talking about, you know, short-term credit. And it's a very important market, especially for, you know, small businesses and a lot of households, for a lot of the reasons that were outlined earlier on, you know, whether we're talking about liquidity, you know, whether we're talking about, you know, businesses just trying to get by. The short-term credit market is very important for them, and usually a first port of call when it comes to just trying to keep their heads up above water. And you know, we have Johan just talking about the fact that a lot of this stuff, you know, does help us to actually measure what's actually going on in the economy, but also help to drive financial inclusion, which is, you know, one of those mandates which is important in a country like South Africa. And then Keith just giving us insight just into how the actual index was made, some of the considerations that went into it, and why they have you've decided to structure the index in that way. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Madiba.
Thanks, Madiba.
This is Madiba's Take.
Quite an interesting discussion with the team from Altron, and I think it gives a fuller picture with what's going on out in the market, especially when one considers the previous index that they gave out, you know, around you know, the ability of households to take on more debt and all of that. And hopefully going forward, as you know, more and more data is actually crunched and this index is produced even more and refined over time, it will give, you know, once again a fuller picture with what's actually going on, especially in this important part of the market, but also giving some data over to policymakers who can actually work to actually use this data to improve the lives of people, to improve you know, the prospects of businesses out there, because it is an important market. Like we said, one of the things that is you know, quite fascinating about the short-term credit market is the fact that it's one of those places, like they said, where people turn to first, but also at the same time one of those places where there's also room for a lot of people being taken advantage of, you know, a lot of exploitation. That's where we often hear about, you know, people talking about loan sharks and, you know, things like that, because loan sharks aren't giving you a mortgage. They're usually there, you know, for short-term situations. You need money, you need it now, you need to do something, you just need you need to get your hands on money to either buy stock or to settle a debt, whatever it is. And if we can actually help that market going forward, you know, that will likely bode well for the economy, and especially given some of the income thresholds that Keith was highlighting, that people below certain thresholds actually take out short-term loans. I think they said below 15,000 rand, take that out, you know, create better products, better, more affordable products that households and businesses and small businesses can take on. All of that, you know, would work well, especially if people are serious about financial inclusion. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.